Well, we welcome each of you here this morning to worship with us at Trinity. We're glad you're here this Labor Day weekend. And so hope you're having fun. Hope you're getting some things accomplished, including rest and relaxation. So there's a couple cards. I slide in here. That's fine. The cards, we'd like to have you fill those out, and they will be picked up after the gospel's read. And so make sure to get those filled out at this time and in the front part of the service. Please stand and greet one another with a handshake of warmth and welcome. Please remain standing. Please remain standing. We make our beginning this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his own mercy and grace, has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake, He forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I therefore, by his authority, forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray together. O God, the source of all that is just and good, nourish in us every virtue and bring to completion every good intent, that we may grow in grace and bring forth the fruit of good works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live, and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a good God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. This is the word of the Lord. And the epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel appointed for this Sunday is written in the book of St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus called the people to him again, and he said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside of a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, Jesus' disciples asked him about the parable. And Jesus said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not into his heart, but by his stomach, and then is expelled? Thus Jesus declared all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each of you this day. Our text is taken from Ephesians 6, the 10th verse, is the epistle, the second lesson of the three read today. If I could have you go to that, that'd be great. The full armor of God is what we'll be talking about this Labor Day weekend. And when you start to look at all the things that people go through, it amazes me. Here at Trinity, we have some real towers and pillars of faith. People who've carried long, heavy loads, a wife or a husband that may have passed away, slipping slowly away. But over that season, that spouse standing by them to welcome them, to greet them, to take care of them. And how do you go through that each and every day? The person who may be having a long, lingering battle with cancer and the like, and to still hear a cheerful, sunny attitude, one of hope and optimism, I find it refreshing. But I also find it in the character of Paul, as we have studied his life and seen those things come about, that he too is a pillar of faith. A man who had been imprisoned, beaten, whipped, scourged, shipwrecked, and was under multiple times placed in fear for his life. But as we look behind the curtain, you know, kind of like in The Wizard of Oz, and we see there is a man, the simple man, that isn't tall or large or any super type of human being. But here in the life of Paul, we don't see a superhero, but rather an individual. He doesn't have a magic cape or armbands that make him special powers or strong. Paul tells us that finally his bottom line is simply this: be strong. Strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, not his strength, not his ability, not his wisdom, my relationships, my savvy, your degrees, or your wisdom. No, our strength is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me remind you of the words in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to work more abundantly beyond we can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Being strong in the Lord and knowing that it is God Almighty who is at work in us to give us things that we cannot even think about, he's able to do. Beyond the things that we're able to imagine or ask for, our God is able to do. Now, how strong is God? Well, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and he's omniscient. So he's, if you wanted to go back to the catechism, we would remember those words are all-powerful, present everywhere, and all-knowing. Our God is our creator, the one who created the heavens and the earth, who said, let it be, and it was. Our God is the one who had a plan for the universe, for you and for me, from the beginning of time and before. The scripture says even before the first star was hung in the sky, God already had a plan and a purpose and knew you by name. Our God is also our Redeemer, and God the Father sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who became flesh. You know this story. And Jesus, what did he do? He lived a perfect life in our place. And by living that perfect life in our place, then he also was able to lay down his life in our place and be a substitute for us, making the payment for our sins in our place. And also in our place, Jesus on the third day rose from death to life and gives us now life everlasting, because he overcame death, damnation, the devil, and the grave. And we remember from our catechism training, do we not, and the creeds, that somewhere in that time in the grave, Jesus descended into hell. And you know what I think he did? I think he went down there to proclaim his victory over death, over the devil, over damnation, over the grave, and also put a sign out of the gates of hell that said, under new management. Because here also Jesus, the name of Jesus, the scriptures tell us, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, including Satan and his minions. I recall getting an invitation at one time when we were at our new mission congregation in Tennessee. And I remember the joy that we had in filling out our paperwork for the National Youth Gathering. We were all excited. This was the first time this young church was going to get to do something like that. And so as a result, we were really excited, and we talked about some of the things that our church does and some of the things that were exciting for us. And we had a puppet ministry. And as a result, the National Youth Gathering sent back a form that says, you've been selected and we'd like to ask you, would you send your puppet team to perform at the National Youth Gathering? And with eyes aglare and all the joy and excitement, our youth directors came in and said, Pastor, do you think this is legit? I said, it looks pretty legit. It's National Youth Gathering. And it even has that Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at the bottom of the page. And I said, it's legit. And they said, but Pastor, we'll be performing before 30,000 people. I said, uh-huh. And they looked at me and they said, do you think we can do that? And I looked to them and I said, never dream small dreams when you have a big God and we have the biggest. Yes, we can do this by God's strength. And they went and they did. Trinity Lutheran Church, as I look back and we see 100 years of ministry, we're almost ready to celebrate. And we're knocking on the door for the second century of ministry and what we'll be doing. And I say to you, never dream small dreams when you have a big God. Our school is celebrating 66 years of ministry this year. Never dream small dreams when you have a big God. And as I look at you and your life and your world, some of you are so young and you're just getting ready to get started in your career. You might even be getting ready to get married. You might be thinking about having a family. And then I look at others of us who are a few years down the road. And you've seen a lot of life. And I say to you, never dream small dreams for what God intends for you. The plans and the purpose and the reason He has for you right now, right here, in the years ahead. And some of you may be able to say, but Pastor, you know, I'm a few years old. I'm retired. And it's like to let the younger people step in and step up. Can I remind you of what Noah was doing when he got a call from the Lord? Noah, I'd like to have you build an ark. Noah, I want you to get all the animals on that ark and then seal it up. We're going to go on a boat ride. And for nearly a half a year they were in that boat. Noah and his family were safe on board that ark. God had a big plan for Noah and his family and all that would populate the earth from there on out. And then I turn back in my Bible, I look a few chapters later, and I see a man by the name of Abraham and Sarah, his wife. They had no children. And oh, they wanted them. They thought as past years, you know, they were getting Social Security a few years earlier, and they just said, we're not sure, God. I just think we're not going to have children probably. But God told Noah, or Abram, I mean, that he was going to be a father of many nations. And from his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And when Abram was 100 years old and Sarah was 90, they started their family. God had big things for them to do. As you look at the stage of life that you're in, young or old, never dream small dreams when you see the God who's the biggest of all and the best of all. He can do it. And He is at work in you. But Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God so that you and I may be able to stand this firm and to withstand the schemes of the devil. And as a child of the devil, as a child of God, I know that the devil is going to try and trip me up. He's like a prowling lion seeking to devour some soul. How many of you have read the book Screwtape Letters? Yeah. Good. There's about four or five of us. And that's good, because one of the things I remember, and it's not word for word, but it's letters from demons and older demons who are mentoring younger ones, and they're under the charge of the devil. And it's a letter, it's a book about letters between them about how they can teach and torment Christians and try to trip them up from their faith. One day the demons talked with their mentor, and this demon was told, a bad thought that they could plant in the mind of a Christian can become a temptation for this Christian to become angry over something that is still unresolved. All they need to do is to plant that idea. They become bitter, and they start to gossip to one another, and then they get someone else all riled up. And just because after they all look at everything about it, they see that they are in the right, and they become even more angry. And they can discover no reason that their friend should be treated this way. And so they tell more people. Now, from this one little well-placed seed of bad thought, a family, an entire family is fighting. A workplace is wrenched in anguish, and a church can even be split. And so the story goes. You see, the devil's work is prowling about in the shadows, in the darkness, trying to deceive us. He doesn't often make frontal attacks or assaults. And Paul reminds us that our strength is in the Lord, and our Him, a mighty fortress, is our God, reminds us that one little word can fell the evil one. And what is that word? It is the name Jesus. You know, often the devil will, however, try to convince you and me, after we have slipped up again, you must not really be a believer. A believer wouldn't do that, especially again. Your Heavenly Father should just disown you. The devil will quote our Bible, and he'll say we've fallen from grace. But my friends, if you and I thought we were in good hands with Allstate, we need to remember whose hands we really are in. The all-powerful, all-knowing, present everywhere God. My friends, Jesus says that He will never leave nor forsake you. He says that no one can snatch you from your Father's hand. For our struggle, Paul reminds us, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces and wickedness in the heavenly places. Those are things we usually can't see. We can't see our real enemy. And we need to sometimes realize that it's not the person or the situation that's in front of us, but rather the devil that's behind it all. We need to ask, what's his involvement in this? What kind of a response does he hope to get out of me? Does he want me to blow up and get angry? Does he want me to consider taking my own life? To believe that somehow I or my family would be better off if I wasn't ever a part of this world. The evil one is his name. And he has such thoughts for you. He wants you to fall that short. The devil desires us to spend eternity in hell on the hot seat with him. That's how much he hates you and he hates me. Therefore, Paul says, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded up your loins with the truth. So that's how I can stand in God's truth. As you gird up your loin, either as a belt place in one translation, it's a belt of truth. And as a belt, you can imagine kind of a back support brace, a thing that allows you to lift larger loads in life. Or if you want to think about your loins being your legs, your frontal part of your legs, and girding up that waist and around your hips, and that part being there to support you, to be able to give you the strength to lift up under those loads and to get through that battle. What are you bound up in? Truth. Truth. Truth is that, my friends, which is absolute. It's not conditional. It's not optional. Truth is factual at all times, in all places, everywhere, for everyone. Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That was said over 2,000 years ago. Do you think it was truthful then? Oh, yeah. You think it's still truthful today? Yeah. It's what we're banking on, isn't it? As you and I start to see truth, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. These are things that we understand from Scripture as truth. They will not change. They cannot change by definition. They are unchangeable. That's what truth is. It's true today. It'll be true tomorrow. It'll be true forever. And God dresses us up for battle against forces with a belt of truth, girding up our loins. We're ready for battle. We're able to stand in truth. And when truth is on your side, you need to fear no evil. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is no ordinary breastplate. It's a breastplate of righteousness. And it declares all that it covers, holy and righteous. It covers our abdomen. It also protects our internal vital organs. And it provides a holy covering as we are called and claimed as God's children. Shod your feet up with the gospel of peace. As you go into battle, your shoes are like those gospels that allow you to run to accomplish your ministry of declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ to your fellow man. That's still your purpose. Even though you be in the midst of battle, the message is to take that message to all the world. Taking up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. What a picture of the devil who assaults us. Not up close, not in hand-to-hand combat or frontal assaults, but from afar, shooting arrows, lobbing them over, trying to hit us. But God gives us a shield of faith to protect us from those flaming arrows that burn deep into our soul and causing us maximum and emotional pain. Arrows that are shot from our past, scars that are still there, and issues and old wounds that haven't fully healed are reopened. Arrows shot from people who are crossing our path and who simply make us cross and mean. But God has given us a shield of faith. Our trust is in Him. And this shield can extinguish the arrows and not allow us to be harmed. You know, Trinity Lutheran Church and school, one of the neat things is one of our logos for the school is it has a shield, a big blue shield of faith. And with this picture from Ephesians, it is that shield which allows our children to be prepared for battle, knowing that his people and children are being forceful and the enemy is throwing arrows at them, trying to deceive them and fool them. That shield of faith is there to protect them. And not only that, we're also giving them a sword of the Spirit, which is the truth of God, which is also on that banner, that logo. And we see this shield of faith. And the sword of the Spirit, which is an offensive weapon, which is able to judge the motives that are good from the motives that are bad. Weighing the intentions of thoughts. That's what we see. Very typically in our shield of faith and our banner, I hope you can remember that as you see that on our school website. I hope you can see that as you think about yourself hiding behind that shield of faith and that sword of the Spirit, and then knowing that God has given you a helmet of salvation. Here God protects your minds, our thinking. His scripture tells us that to take every thought captive, because as thoughts occur sometimes in our mind, those thoughts that are well placed, like in that Screwtape's letters, when we start to think about them, then the thoughts are conceived, and that gives way to lust, and lust gives way to sin, and sin that is enticed and carried away by those lusts is then carried out. That's how it is. But God has placed a helmet of salvation upon us. God wants to protect us from our doubts, the devil would distract us with. He wants us to know that we are to go and to love as He has loved us. But if the devil can enter into our mind and create a hunger and a craving for drugs or alcohol or sexual addictions or pornography, they can lead us to what Paul calls sin. And the payment for such sin is death. And that's what the devil plans for you. There was a statistic that saddened me when I heard of it. How deeply the devil really hates Christians, the church, and church leaders. We're hearing rumors of childhood abuse in some churches from the priests. We're hearing other corners of a church that is a very well-known church that swept things under the carpet and didn't deal with them. But the statistic that I share with you today is one that a national church consultant shared with me at one time, who had the privilege, I guess you would say, of making sure all the hotel bills were correct. And he started noticing that after church conventions, there were a lot of church workers that were renting pornographic movies. And he asked the clerk, he said, "Does this happen often?" And the clerk says, "Oh yeah, we can tell when a church should book the hotel. That's very frequent." What I want to say is this: that's how much the devil hates you. If he can get your leader to fall, if he can get a husband to fall, or a dad or a mom to fall, or a child to fall, he's going to try and tackle this whole place. And he's going to be strategic. And he's not going to just shoot at one person to get for the purpose of the one. He's going to shoot at the whole church by maybe picking off that one. And so I want you to know that. Because the devil hates you and me that much. He really does. But Paul has taught us this, knowing this, that we are dressed for battle. We have the full armor of God. And if we don't put one of our weapons or shields or helmets or breastplate down, guess what? We can't be hit. We're safe. But if we loosen our belt of truth, say, it doesn't really matter, I can go this alone today. Or if I put down my shield of faith because it's a little hot in sunny Florida here, if I say that shield of faith, man, that's heavy on my arm, I think I'll leave it in the back of the car. And that sword of the Spirit, they don't want me to take it in there anyway. And the helmet of salvation, I know I'm saved, but I think it messes up with my hair, and I think I'm just going to leave it in the car too. My friends, if we turn our back on God or put down His armor, guess what happens? The evil one can attack. I want to say that scriptures are quite clear, but I want to give you this visual impression. I have a helmet of salvation, a shield of faith, a sword of the Spirit, the Bible. My feet are clothed with the gospel. I have a belt of truth. My loins are girded with truth. If I turn my backside to you, am I covered? The Roman soldier was never covered from the backside, because if they ran and turned and ran away, turning their back, they were open to the enemy's arrows. If we desert God, we'll be open to the enemy's arrows. I want you to know that you and I are dressed for battle. And the scriptures are very clear. Let us fix our eyes upon the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, in whose name we serve as we are dressed for battle. Because God has big plans for us. And we cannot allow the devil to cause us to stumble or slip up. We must move forward individually and collectively as his church. Therefore, let us pray for one another and pray for our ministry together and for us as individuals. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. I spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father. Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Thank you. Lord and Savior Jesus, we indeed do give you thanks for being our beautiful Savior, who is willing to live a perfect life in our place and to offer up your very own life in our place. For that we give you thanks, and for the wonderful promise of life after death that was assured by your victory over death and the grave, we also give you thanks. O Lord, our Redeemer, O Lord, our Creator, O Lord, our Sanctifier, we thank you that you've dressed us for the battles of this world and life. Give us the victory. Help us to see the big dreams that you have for your church and for us as individuals. Help us to walk always in your will and to seek your will with all our life. And help us, O Lord, never to give up. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers your children have requested.
Father, the congregation brings before you these prayers of supplication. Today we pray for Parker as he continues on his hike of the Appalachian Trail. Guide, lead, and protect him, keep him safe, and protect him under your wings. We also pray for comfort for Phyllis as she, in her time of trouble and illness, grant her peace, your peace that passes all understanding. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, we also pray for our sister Carolyn Merrick and ask your will to be done in her life to grant her healing and rest and comfort. We ask also that you would comfort those who mourn the passing of their loved ones, such as Lois Raymond and Bill Wilson. O Lord, in your mercy. And now we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said unto them, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Also, after he had taken the cup, he supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you, for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen.
Morning, Trinity. A couple of announcements for today. Next Sunday, September 9th at 12:30 p.m., we will have a parent-student meeting for all 7th and 8th graders participating in confirmation instruction. Woo-hoo! Please plan to join the pastor and youth leaders to talk more about what's planned for this year's confirmation. And then we have our next Trinity game night is Friday, September 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. Woohoo! Game night this summer was so much fun this past time. So with friends from throughout Trinity family and friends of all ages, please join us for an evening of Trinity family time. All are welcome. Bring your own board games or use something we have on hand. Thank you, thank you. Now this time around, it is gonna be a bring your own food. If you haven't eaten beforehand, you can bring your what you want to eat with you. Light refreshments will be provided, but if you haven't eaten, bring it beforehand. Woo-hoo! September 22nd is our next Servant Saturday event for the entire Trinity family. We'll be working together to make improvements on the tutoring and technology lab for Rebecca's Garden of Hope at Our Savior Lutheran, where at-risk children are provided with tutoring resources and a loving connection to their local church. Our last Servant Saturday serving with the Hope team was fantastic, with participants from the school, church staff, and as well as guests, friends, and even grandkids. Okay, let's not push it now, okay, guys? Please sign up for this quarterly opportunity to serve in our community. Read the details in your weekly and sign up now. Thank you for your attention. Woo-hoo!
May you stand now and sing to the Lord. He might have put down his... Brennan.